This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Martin Lee, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Well, if you thought that after the season finale at Abu Dhabi, everyone by now would be at home with their feet up, you couldn't be more wrong. The drivers and the teams are in action today at the Pirelli postseason tyre tests. We had drivers swapping teams, young drivers getting into the cars, cars without any branding on, and drivers in completely plain race suits and camouflage helmets. And what were they testing, and what is it about the tyres they were looking at today ahead of 2023, and what can we learn before the season returns very quickly next year? Let's get up to speed with Autosport's Luke Smith. Luke, welcome back to the podcast. Oh, it's been at least a hot minute since you were on.
It's only been, what, 2 days since the end of the F1 season? Not even that. And on Sunday night, everyone was like, oh, okay, yep, see you next year and everything like that. And I was back at the circuit less than 12 hours later for a Nico Hülkenberg chat. And then, yeah, back today for testing. But today is literally the final day of school. I'm leaving here this evening. I'm not seeing an F1 track until next year, I don't think. So, been an interesting day, but I think we're all very ready to wrap up F1 in 2022.
Did they find you somewhere to watch the football?
We found ourselves somewhere to watch. We went to there was a Belgian beer bar by one of the hotels. So, went there to watch England and their excellent victory, which is very, very cool. And, it was nice that I sort of fell on the Monday day off instead of it being on a Tuesday or something, because I remember watching the World Cup quarterfinal in the media centre a few years back, and it's not quite the same atmosphere as being having a nice cold beer or something in your hand.
Absolutely. Well, look, tell us what happens at any other race that you go to. They cross the finish line, checkered flag, celebrations. As you're wrapping up and writing all your reports for online and the magazine, etc., what are the teams doing? And I guess what I'm asking is, how quick do they say, let's get the hell out of here?
It is quite quick. So basically anything they can get out of the track on the Sunday night, for example, or the Monday, they will. All of the teams do pack up, like everyone in the team sort of mucks in and helps put things away into boxes and to freight and put it off to the next race or wherever else it's going to go. But obviously in Abu Dhabi, because we have this test, it does take the pressure off a little bit, because A, you need some of those things to be able to do the test, and B, obviously you've got another sort of 2 days or so or whatever to get it all done. So that sort of leads its way to the final day, which is today's test day, split into two halves basically in terms of the cars that the teams run. Each team runs two cars. One car is for young drivers, so that's someone who started two Grand Prix or less, and they can do whatever they want with that basically. And then the other car is for the race drivers or future race drivers, and that is for Pirelli tyre testing. So they're giving the 2023 Pirelli prototype tyres basically to give them a final blast and do a bit of learning ahead of the new season.
How close are these Pirellis to what we'll actually go racing with next year?
Very close, yeah. There'll be a bit of tinkering, but we spoke with Mario Isola, Pirelli's F1 chief, after the test day, and he said it's all very, very good. He said they want to try and reduce a bit of understeer in the tyres compared to what they encountered this year, which is something we've known about for a while. But yeah, I think they're going to be very, very close indeed. They're introducing a sixth compound for any compound fans out there. That will be the C0, which is basically the current C1, and they're going to place that new C1 somewhere between the existing C1 and the C2. So yes, I hope people are more excited about that than I am, because yeah, tyres are very interesting in many ways, but C0, C1, less so.
Compound fans have pricked their ears up all of a sudden. Let's talk. So is the test for Pirelli's benefit to fine-tune it, or is it for the team's benefit for data gathering?
Both. So Pirelli or basically any last-minute concerns or whatever they'll get. But what they want to do is say, here is what next year's tyre is going to be like. And for the teams to go, cool, we can understand this before we sort of do the actual 2023 cars and tests next year. So it's kind of a bit of a two-way street. But yeah, they Pirelli were very happy. There's no sort of, if you'll pardon the pun, red flags or anything that have come up as a result of this test. So it all sounds like it's, yeah, looking very promising for next year. Pirelli actually ran through some stats with us. They said we had 24 drivers on track today completing 2,458 laps. That's about two race distances per driver, 13,000 kilometers, so lots of data for them to get their teeth stuck into, which is really, really good. And yeah, they're happy with how the tyres went this year and hoping to take another step with it in 2023.
And is this like Mexico, where they're not marked and the teams have, you know, it's sort of like a double blind study where the teams don't know, or is there more information being shared? They're not sort of on these kind of unknown tyres.
There is a bit more information being shared, I believe, and there's not a prescribed run plan either. Like the tyre test, Pirelli would say, right, we're going to give you these tyres, you need to do 8 laps, then pit, then 5 laps, then pit. With this, it's, yeah, do what you want, learn them, basically. So yeah, I think there is a bit more understanding going on.
That was Austin, wasn't it, I'm thinking of, where they were doing, what was that,
Mexico as well. Yeah, no, both Mexico. Races, both
oh,
races.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about how the teams did today. We may as well go through championship order as they finish 2022, because why not? And you can explain why we have headlines on the website like Ferrari did a 1-2-3.
Oh, I know, I enjoyed writing that. It's so bizarre.
Like, hang on, 3? Let's get into it, though. And you can tell us who was driving, in what session, and any kind of interesting things that come out with the different teams. We'll start with the champions and Red Bull Racing. What happened today with them?
So they fielded Liam Lawson as their young driver. Lawson's raced in Formula 2 this year. He's going to be serving as the main reserve driver for Red Bull and AlphaTauri, their sister team, next year. And I think he's kind of seen a little bit as next in line on the sort of Red Bull young driver conveyor belt, let's call it. And he had a bit of a disappointing year in F2 this year, so I think next season's going to be quite important for him. It's not entirely clear if he's going to be racing back there or not, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, but he was in the car for Red Bull, and he was doing their sort of young driver running, racked up 111 laps, very productive day for him. And then the main car for Pirelli testing, that was split between Sergio Perez in the morning and Max Verstappen in the afternoon. Yeah, they both got well over a race distance apiece. Verstappen, he finished the day 5th fastest, 6 tenths of a second off the top time. And yeah, that's his final hurrah with the Red Bull RB18. It's yeah, that's it now for him. So he's yeah, had a final outing with the car that's won him so much success this year.
I wonder if there's anything in his contract that we haven't heard about yet where he gets one of the chassis. I know that Jenson Button had to wait a while to get one of his Braun GP chassis in his collection, but I wouldn't be surprised when you get to his kind of status if you can kind of wangle those sort of things into contract negotiations, because that would be very nice for the Verstappen family collection. Although he's got a pretty nice collection of cars already. I read an article about Max's personal collection, and they profiled his jet as well, which I'm sure he's on already back home. Let's talk a little bit about Ferrari, which, as we've said, is the headline of today.
It is, yeah, 1-2-3, which is something you maybe get at Le Mans or in a sports car race, but never in Formula 1 until now. And yeah, that's afforded because they split the Pirelli tyre car between Charles Leclerc in the morning and Carlos Sainz in the afternoon. Leclerc very early on set a very quick time and was pretty much top all the way through until Sainz then took over for the afternoon session and went a tenth quicker. So that gave Sainz P1, Leclerc P2, And then Robert Schwartzman was their driver in the second car, the young driver car. He's raced in Formula 2 for a few years, being their test driver this year. A real brilliant talent. One of the drivers that I most think is deserving of a seat in Formula 1 who doesn't have a seat in F1. But he was behind the wheel of the young driver car. He was P3 at one point, slipped down a little bit as more times came in, but then in the final hour went for a final run, and that got him third place and meant that I could have that wonderful headline of a Ferrari 1-2-3.
And I saw George Russell today on his socials sending out pictures of him and his partner just standing on the pit wall, you know, watching things go by. It looked, obviously, it was, you know, very quiet in the background of the pictures. It just looked more relaxed, way more relaxed, even than pre-season testing, where there's an air of, where there's tension around that. It looked like people had guests there and partners, and there was just no intensity to today, which I think is nice if you can involve someone like that. So I saw him doing that. I didn't see too much from Lewis today, who was driving for Mercedes.
Yeah, both of them were. Yeah, they... As you say, it is definitely a much more relaxed vibe, I think, for the testing. But we had Russell and Hamilton splitting running in the Mercedes as well. George in the morning, then Lewis in the afternoon. And they basically just got lots of laps in. Hamilton 17th, Russell 23rd. So clearly not going for any kind of all-out lap time or anything. And then probably one of the more interesting and, let's say, left-field drivers out there today for Mercedes was Frederik Vesti, who, not a name that is often coming up on this podcast, but he's in Formula 2. He had his rookie year, I believe, in F2 this year, and I think he's been confirmed for next season with Prema, so one of the top teams. And he's been on Mercedes junior books for about 2 or 3 years now, so he was out there getting his first ever test in a Formula 1 car. He did more than 2 race distances, so that's a lot for your first go, but fair play to him. Gwen Lagru, who's sort of the junior guru, let's say, for Mercedes, he's overseen the rise of George Russell and Esteban Ocon. He was on site today watching on very closely as Frederick was doing his first go. So nice to have a new name and another Dane as well out there, along with Kevin Magnussen wasn't out there today. So Frederik Vesti flying the flag solo for Denmark.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will get into the teams who have got some new drivers changing seats, and we'll find out why they were driving unbranded cars with unbranded race suits. That's on the way. Stick around.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Hi, welcome back to the podcast. We're talking to Luke Smith, who is in Abu Dhabi right now, having watched the Pirelli tyre test today for us. Here's a final hurrah of the 2022 season. All right, let's get into Team France, because Alpine beating McLaren to fourth, and we're doing this in championship order. We start to get into teams that have got some different drivers, and it was all very kind of grown up and reasonable, and people were released from contracts to go and drive for their new teams. How did it go for Alpine today?
Yeah, as you say, Pierre Gasly making his debut for Alpine and Team France, as you rightly call it, alongside Esteban Ocon for a French manufacturer. And Gasly had the full day in the Alpine to give him a chance to sort of get used to the team and how they're working. End of the day, fourth fastest, putting a quick lap towards the end, so he was quite happy with that. And he said, like, I can see why this team finished fourth in the constructors. Like, you could really tell. I think he sees a big step forward from where he was at AlphaTauri. And he said that the potential he's seen is even greater than what he was expecting. So that's really, really cool. And he said that everyone has been really nice so far and he's adjusted well. And yeah, there was a good sort of a good vibe coming from Pierre when we spoke to him after the session. So yeah, I think he's very happy with that. 130 laps. And across the garage was Jack Doohan, who is looking for a role, I think, with Alpine next year, potentially as their reserve driver, maybe. And he raced in Formula 2 this year, had a really good rookie season. More F1 running for him after some FP1s earlier this year and some private testing. He ended up 11th fastest today.
For any fans of more historical stuff in Formula 1, check out our Formula 1 archive in the Autosport podcast channel. I think there was a couple of months back, we did a really interesting podcast about Ligier with our chief editor, Kevin Turner. So we talked Patrick Depailler, Ligier and Jacques Lafitte and all things French and Team France. And no, don't tell me that the car is made in Enstone. Let's just carry on calling it Team France. Let's talk about McLaren then and another driver who got to get in their new car today.
Yeah, Oscar Piastri, probably one of the most anticipated new drivers out there today. Obviously, that contract saga over the summer that dominated the headlines and was such an intriguing case. He finally got to drive that McLaren for the very first time in full McLaren gear and everything. And he had a good day. He was very happy with how it went. There was a red flag caused by Piastri at one point when he had stopped. There was a power unit protection trigger that went on his power unit. McLaren runs conservative settings for the test, so they basically want to make sure it doesn't go boom and that they can get everything and through the running all okay. So yeah, they just, that went off basically. He stopped the car, got the car back, he was able to get back out again. But yeah, good for Piastri to get to know his new team at last. And he said he's going to the MTC next week for his official introduction, everything like that, and from then on they can really start to, I think, hit the ground running in terms of getting him ready for his F1 debut next year. And Lando Norris, he got the full day over the garage, and again, helpful and standing for next year's tyres by getting a full racing driver in there as well.
Interesting, we didn't really touch on it on Sunday night's podcast. There was a lot to get through, and we didn't get to talk about a few things I had in the running order, but one of them I was going to ask you about in case anybody looks at the charts on screen and goes, hang on a minute, Alfa Romeo, Aston Martin, 55 points a piece. Why do we say that Alfa beat Aston in the constructors? They get the cash, they get the grid position. How does that work when they got the same points?
That is done on countbacks. That basically means who has the most number of highest positions. So basically, right, say you're tied on points, but you have 10 wins and someone else has 9. The person with 10 wins finishes ahead. So in this case, Alfa Romeo, they had a 5th place finish courtesy of Valtteri Bottas at Imola. And Aston Martin did not finish higher than 6th all season. Basically, because of that P5, that's why Alfa gets 6th in the championship instead of 7th. That's all it's based on, basically. So yeah, if I finish 5th in one race and score 10 points and you finish 9th in 5 races and score 10 points,
yep,
I would finish, yep, ahead because I've got the higher finishing position in a single race.
Okay, that's how it works. And so there you go, there's Valtteri Bottas earning his money with the constructor's cash coming his way. But did he earn his money today? How were Alfa Romeo?
He did, 129 laps, a very busy day for Valtteri Bottas.
Wow.
And he's certainly earned his cash today. And over the garage was Théo Pourchaire, who's a very exciting talent in Formula 2. He ended up at the bottom of the timesheets, but I wouldn't read too much into that. 106 laps, and Théo, he's been fantastic, I think, in F2 this year, finished as runner-up, and he's a really exciting star for the future. I think he's someone that Alfa really want to cling on to because he's real class. So good to see him get some more F1 running as well today.
I think it is about $10 million difference. I don't know whether you know that's the exact number or not.
Around 10 to 12 is kind of the accepted figure per position, okay, in the paddock, I think. Yeah, so around that.
I was reminding myself of which teams get the sort of participation bonus, if you like, the negotiations, the Ferraris and Mercedes and McLarens of the world, and the Red Bulls, obviously. And that I was looking down the table thinking, okay, so there's sort of that step down. So it certainly is worth a huge, level on points, but a huge amount of money to beat Aston Martin, who had one car running, all fully liveried up. hadn't touched it since the race on Sunday. And then there'd been busy boys and girls in the garage peeling off all the little decals. They had to run it unbranded. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Fernando Alonso making his long-awaited Aston Martin F1 debut. And that was, I think, one of the intriguing ones. We wondered, would he be allowed to go and do it? And he was, but only if the car was, yeah, completely free of sponsors. It had an Aston Martin logo, an FIA logo, and a Pirelli logo, and that was it. Otherwise, it looked very, very odd, but kind of satisfying in a way, just seeing it sort of all in British Racing green, pretty much. And yeah, Alonso, he said, I'll be wearing a black race suit, and that's exactly what he was. He had a camo dazzle livery on his helmet as well, and yeah, he had a great day. He was on cloud nine when we spoke to him afterwards, and he said that when I signed, I was 90% happy because the team was, I thought it was good, but they'd not had a superb start to the season. Then when they finished the season, he said I was 100% happy because they'd made this massive improvement, and he said now I'm 100+% happy.
Oh.
So it's going up and up. He's he said that the atmosphere he could feel was so special. He said it's amazing to drive for another iconic brand, having driven for Ferrari as well. He said that he had a bit of left back pain because the seat wasn't quite fitted correctly and things like that in terms of his adjustments, so his little things. But he said basically today was about getting used to all the systems and everything, but he's really, really pleased with what he found. So yeah, very happy Fernando Alonso. He's, I think, fully sort of, yeah, on board, thinking I made the right move for next year. And there was an interesting comment. Someone asked him about the engine reliability, which obviously was such a weak point for Alpine this year and cost him so many points. And he said that when he was told the mileage of the engine when he got into the car this morning, he was a bit worried because he said, by my standards, that's like really, really high. But it ran without missing a beat. And he said the reliability is outstanding. So yes, already maybe little veiled digs going towards his former team.
About halfway through the day, as you pointed out earlier on your Twitter, Luke Smith F1, if our listeners want to follow you, he was the first out this morning. I think he was asked halfway through the day how it's going. I forget who it was posted that, and I think his answer was it was different, and it kind of made me think of that Friends scene. I'm dredging things out of the memory banks where Ross has an affair,
yes,
and Rachel,
yes,
says, well, tell me about it then if you want to talk about it. Was it better or worse? And he goes,
yeah,
well, it was just different. And I'm like, yeah, no, Fernando, just say it's better. You've left your old team. Say it.
But then he was then asked, like, was it better? Like, better, different? And he just smiled and didn't say anything. Thing. So it was, funny.
Oh, and let's carry on. Oh yeah, let's talk a little bit about Haas actually and their drivers today.
Yeah, Nico Hülkenberg, he's back in an F1 car. He's finally obviously announced last Thursday. We spoke to him yesterday as well, and he's ready to return to F1 for the first time in, what, 3 years next year. And yeah, today was important for him to get fully up to pace, obviously. He said he was struggling a little bit physically towards the end, said there was sort of human degradation going on in terms of just doing the laps. He did 110 laps, so I think that's to be expected. For any number fans out there, I'm treating all the fans of various niches today. He did a 1 minute 27.000, and his number is 27. So that,
wow,
gave us a brief moment of satisfaction in the media centre.
Let's talk. Oh, and who was he driving with today?
Pietro Fittipaldi. Yes, as you say, Emerson's grandson. He's been Haas's reserve, obviously, for the past couple of years. Made two Grand Prix starts at the end of 2020 when Romain Grosjean had his accident. But as the rules say, it's two or less starts. He is eligible as a rookie for this test. And it's unclear what he's going to be doing next year with Haas, if he's going to continue with the team or not. Günther Steiner said in Brazil, it kind of depends on what Pietro wants to do in terms of racing and how available he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's something to keep an eye on.
AlphaTauri, just to finish off the last couple of teams, who was driving for them today?
So they had Nick de Vries making his debut for them. He's on loan from Mercedes still. He's been Mercedes reserve driver for the past couple of years. We didn't get a chance to speak to him. He was also in unbranded overalls, but the car was fully decked up. He did more laps than anybody else today, 151. So that's a real mammoth stint by him in the car, but a good chance for him to kind of, yeah, get to grips with where things are at. And they had Yuki Tsunoda on the other side of the garage, who also did a huge number of laps, 135. So what, 286? That's a lot of laps in the day for AlphaTauri. So, very productive by them.
Different running and different intensity, but almost doing a three or two and a half race distance
over a day. Again, it's going to take its toll. A little bit sore, I imagine, tomorrow, but he's fine. He can cope with that. And finally, Williams, fill us in.
Yeah, Logan Sargeant confirmed finally as a Formula One driver yesterday. We knew he had the super license. We knew it was coming, but they made that final announcement yesterday afternoon. And he said that, yeah, it felt a little bit different today, getting in the car knowing, like, this isn't an FP1 and it's not like, oh, I've got to be super gentle and make sure that I don't crash it and also I get my 100 kilometers and the super license point, that he can now just go for it with the confidence that, yeah, I am in this car next season, I've got the race seat. And he ended the day seventh, and he said that, yeah, it was a good day, he got through everything he needed to. I asked him if the more running he's done in an F1 car, if it's sort of the physicality of it is getting a bit easier to deal with, less time to recover, and he was like, yep, yeah, that's definitely what I'm feeling. And yeah, he's I think set for some private testing over the winter as well, and potentially with Alpine in one of their old cars, just because of yeah, sort of a bit of friendship going on between Williams and Alpine at the moment. But he, yeah, again, another good day for him, I think. Just more track time before he makes the step up fully next year. Alex Albon, his teammate, just ahead of him by a tenth, finished day sixth fastest. So, yeah, a nice little way for Williams to end the year. Good experience, I think. And, again, hoping they'll be making a step forward next year.
I'm going to Google now how many days until, and it's brought up a website called The Calculator. You might want to mute this bit. Yeah. TheCalculatorSite.com. 23rd of February is 93 days away.
That is terrifying.
Three months and a day.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's fun. So. It's good. Like, I mean, I think we're all going to miss Formula One action over the winter, but it's been a long season for everyone. I think we're ready for a little bit of a break. But I mean, the fun's not really going to stop for us, is it? We've got the Autosport Awards. There's going to be the FIA Gala. We're going to have lots of news and analysis. And it's like, yeah, I think I'm going to get home, have a little sleep, and then be like, right, let's get this winter content and make sure that the good listeners of the Autosport podcast are satisfied over the winter, because it's going to be lots to read and consume.
Well, shut that laptop screen, log off. We'll see you at the Autosport Awards. All of you guys deserve a massive, massive break now. Let's say, plenty of stuff still to talk about. There always will be in the sport that we love. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Louisiana Swamplands. Out here, you're either lunch or you're enjoying it. Make sure you end up on top with the all-powerful lineup of Kia SUVs, like the Telluride, Sportage, and Sorento. Equipped with available all-wheel drive, higher ground clearance, and the interior capacity to bring everything you need. So you'll always remain more than a gator's length ahead. Visit your local Kia dealer today to find your next adventure in our ever-capable lineup of SUVs. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely.
Sports Social Podcast Network.